Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Shike.
All right, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Shike. So thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. On this edition of the podcast, we're going to have a little bit of fun as we celebrate, along with the Jews, the festival of Purim. So what is Purim? Why are we talking about it? Why does it matter to us as Christians? What is the theme of it? So let's get into that. Purim is a festival that celebrates God's work, God's miraculous deliverance of His people in the time of Queen Esther. You might recognize that. You might not. I don't know. But Esther is the name of a book of the Bible, the Old Testament, as we Christians call it. The Jews call it the Scriptures. So Esther is a book of the Bible that talks about God's deliverance of His people hundreds of years before Jesus, at the time when they were living within the Persian Empire. So Persia being Iran, all right? So they were living in the Persian Empire at that time. So let's take a look at what happens in the book of Esther. It's a very unique book of the Bible in that it is the only book of the Bible that does not mention God. The name of God is not mentioned in the book. So a good trivia question there, if you want to play trivia. God's not mentioned, but God is certainly active and alive and doing great things in the book of Esther, but He's kind of working quietly behind the scenes, if you will, to save His people in a miraculous way. There's some key characters in the book that we need to know if we're going to understand what happened there. And there's four of them, actually, that are key characters in the book. The first is King Xerxes. He's the Persian king at that time. There is Mordecai, who is a leader among the Jews at that time. There is his niece, Hadassah, who he's raising, Mordecai is raising as his daughter because her parents are apparently deceased. And so Mordecai adopts her. So Hadassah, Esther, is his adopted daughter. And then there's Haman, who is the evil character in the story. Haman's name is mentioned over 50 times in the book. We'll get to that in a little bit, but he's the evil character in the story. So those are the four characters that you need to know if you know the story. So I'm not going to tell the whole story. It's 11 chapters plus a really short 12th chapter in the Scriptures. But the basic outline of the story is that the Jews, as well as many others, were living in the Persian Empire at that time. And King Xerxes gets really ticked off at his wife, Queen Vashti, banishes her. You can read how that happens and why that happens and read into some of the things there. It's kind of making a good adult movie, perhaps. But anyway, he banishes her and then wants to choose another queen. And so he has many beautiful women from the kingdom come before him. And of all those, the one that pleases him the most is Hadassah, who is Jewish but has not revealed her ethnicity. Because out of fear, Mordecai, her uncle, her slash adoptive parent, father, has told her, don't reveal who you are, that you're Jewish, because that could land you in a lot of trouble. So she hides that from the king, and she becomes the favorite queen of Persia at that time. Haman is an Agagite, is his background. And you can look that up in the Scriptures and study that if you like. But Haman's an Agagite, an enemy of the Jews. And so he wants, he gets in this kind of tiff with Mordecai. Mordecai won't bow down to Haman. Haman's an official in the empire. Mordecai should be bowing down to him. Mordecai won't because he's an Agagite. And so Haman decides he's going to figure out a way not just to kill Mordecai, but he realizes Mordecai's Jewish. He wants to kill all the Jews throughout the Persian Empire. So there's this plot afoot. As the plot develops, Mordecai gets wind of it and realizes the only person who can perhaps persuade the king to stop this plot to kill all the Jews, the only person who can stop it, perhaps, is Queen Esther, his niece. And he gets word to her about this plot, and he gets word to her that she has been put into place to stop this plot. In fact, the most famous verse from the book of Esther is Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Where Mordecai sends word to Esther and says, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arrive from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. Who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? That's the key line. Who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? In other words, Mordecai tells Esther, God, perhaps, well, we don't use the word God. The name God is not in the book of Esther, remember. But God has maybe placed you where you are to be able to accomplish great things. And that line, of course, that preaches well for all of us. Who knows but that God has placed us wherever we are for such a time as this. So a series of dinners ensues. Esther decides she is going to risk her life. She's not allowed to enter the king's presence unless the king summons her. That's the rules at that time. The king has not summoned her, but she determines that she will risk going into the king's presence and perhaps death to be able to try to save the people, the Jewish people. And so there's a series of dinners. It's just great high drama. You just got to read the book of Esther. It's just a great, great book. It's 11 chapters, but it's a quick read because it's just high drama. Movies have been made about it, actually. Esther risks going into the king's presence once, then risks going in again. And then she reveals the plot of Haman to not only kill Mordecai, but to destroy all the Jews. And Haman has cast lots, and the lot has fallen to the 14th of Adar. That is when the Jews will be killed, is in the month of Adar. So the Jewish month of Adar. So Esther winds up exposing this plot of Haman's. The king realizes what Haman has done, and Haman himself, as it turns out, sorry to give away the end of the story, but Haman himself, as it turns out, was killed, and the Jewish people were saved, and they plundered their enemies. So that is the story, basically, in the book of Esther. You can guess, you don't have to think too hard, why this is a popular story for Jews, and resonates with them throughout history. Because throughout history, there have been people who have tried to destroy the Jews and have not succeeded. We think all the way back to Pharaoh at the time when the Israelites were leaving Egypt, and Pharaoh tried to destroy them, and they were delivered on Passover from Egypt and delivered through the Red Sea. God delivered his people in a miraculous way. We think in modern times of Hitler and how Hitler tried desperately. The Nazis tried to destroy every Jew on the face of the earth if they could, but the Jews were saved in that scenario. So both ancient and modern times, and even now today, as the Jews are getting ready to celebrate Purim this week in Israel and around the world, think of Hamas setting out, if they could, to destroy every last Jew from the face of the earth, from the river to the sea, as the saying is. And so even again today, the Jews look to God to deliver them in a miraculous way. So you can see why this book, this story, this holiday resonates with the Jews. So the holiday, of course, on the Gregorian calendar that we follow changes throughout the years. And so, but always in the springtime. And so March 23rd, the evening of March 23rd is when the holiday begins. That would be Saturday night if you're listening to this on Friday morning when I release it, this coming Saturday night. So today, Friday, they'll be fasting in preparation for the holiday of Purim. It'll begin Saturday evening, and it'll go 24 hours. It goes longer within the city of Jerusalem. That's getting into the weeds there, the details of that, but it goes a little longer in Jerusalem itself. But nevertheless, it's celebrated. How is it celebrated? Four kind of key parts of the celebration. One is the reading, public reading of the book of Esther, often in the synagogue. So Jews will gather around the world in the synagogue and their synagogues and read the book of Esther. While the book of Esther is read, whenever the name of Haman is read, it's interesting how close Haman sounds to Hamas. Just thought of that. But whenever the name of Haman is read, boos and hisses and noisemakers are used to drown out the name of Haman in the reading. It's kind of, they just have fun with it. And also, it's a time to send gifts of food to friends. It's also a time to give charity to the poor. So those two ways in which it is celebrated. And it's celebrated by eating a festive meal. When I say festive meal, we're talking about a festive meal. There's some dispute amongst the rabbis about this, but there's a lot of not only food, but drink. And when I say drink, I'm talking adult beverages. I'm talking wine, drunk literally at the Festival of Purim at the meal. There's dispute amongst the rabbis as to whether it is in fact obligatory to get drunk at the meal. So some say, no, we just need to drink more than usual. Others say it is obligatory to get so drunk that we can't distinguish the good from the bad in this meal. So anyway, it is a time of high celebration. In Israel this year, there's some dispute with exactly how Purim should be remembered, or should we say celebrated, because, of course, many Israelis, Jews, and others are still held hostage by Hamas. And there is a war going on for the first time in a long time that is during Purim. Many, many years there has not been a war during Purim, but now there is, and many Israeli soldiers are fighting in that war and dying in that war. And so there is some sense that Purim should be toned down this year. In fact, some would say dramatically toned down because of what is going on, because of the pain and the suffering that's going on within Israel. And also, some would say within the surrounding communities, their heart goes out to those who are innocents suffering in those surrounding communities as well. Some probably don't care, but others do have a heart for those suffering even around Israel. So probably a lot of toned down celebrations, remembrances of Purim this year. Nevertheless, the main theme of Purim is that verse from Esther chapter 4. Who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? The theme of Purim is that God delivers his people. And so we Christians take that theme and we resonate with it as well, because this really points to Jesus. Jesus was sent for such a time as this. Jesus was sent to a people who could not save themselves, namely us, namely every human being. No human being can save themselves, but Jesus was sent, God come in the flesh for such a time as this, sacrificed himself on the cross for us to bring deliverance to us forever, and not only in this world, but into eternity. So we celebrate also God's miraculous deliverance of his people. Back at the time of the Passover through the Red Sea, that's the key celebration in the Old Testament. And the New Testament, the key celebration of God's deliverance is Jesus and his conquering by death on the cross. How strange is that? Conquering by his own death on the cross, conquered Satan, that most evil of all Hamans, Satan himself, who is out to get us, to destroy us, to kill us for eternity. And Jesus then gives us deliverance. So we celebrate Esther as a foreshadowing, and the events of Esther as a foreshadowing of the greatest deliverance ever, that deliverance of Jesus on the cross, the resurrection from the dead, that we're going to be celebrating as Christians next week. So that's what we got for you today. It's a time of celebration. It's kind of a mixture this year of sadness and celebration for Jews, as it is for Christians as we celebrate. Do we celebrate Good Friday, or do we remember Good Friday? It's good because of what happens. It results in our deliverance, but very painful for us to remember the things of Good Friday, to realize we put Jesus on the cross, and yet we celebrate what happens on Easter Sunday as God gives his seal of approval to the death of Jesus on our behalf. That's what we got for you today. I encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. That's all one word, no spaces, dots, dashes, underscores, just eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of this, how you, if you're Jewish and listening to this, how you are remembering or celebrating Purim this year. If you're a Christian, have you heard of this holiday? Did you know much about it before this? What did you learn today? Write us, let us know, and also let us know what kind of things you'd like us to talk about in the future on the podcast. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will be miraculously delivered by him. We'll fly on wings like eagle. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.